to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Love, love, love. Boom, boom, boom. Love, love, love. Dum, 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 dum. Love, love, love. Dum, 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 dum. It's easy. Dum, 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 dum. All you need is love. Ba, ba, na, na, na. All you need is love. Dun, da, 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 dum. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. Amen. All right. No. All right. I'm going to preach a little bit. But that was good. Very good. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, gracious and loving God, and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that you're with us here this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent. We are finally back in the New Testament. And I would like to take this time this morning. I'm excited to see everybody here. We had no idea how many might show up on Christmas Eve day, Sunday morning, fourth Sunday of Advent. And so I figured whoever's coming this morning, these are the diehards, right? Because you're coming back tonight, right, for Christmas Eve. But these are the diehards, the people that are really wanting to hear and learn about the fourth Sunday of Advent. Right? Okay, so what we're going to do is we start into a new book, into the New Testament, Gospel of John. I would like to take some time this morning and just highlight five ideas from the Gospel of John. I had a professor that said everything you need to know about the Gospel of John is in this first chapter that Vicki just read for us. Just in these first couple of verses. So it's a little bit different this morning, what we're doing. If you're new with us today, it's not always quite like this. Because I made a handout. Did you all get the handout with the funny little drawing on it? I made that drawing. That's my drawing. And it says, what does it say on the top page? The Gospel of John. Yeah, the year of John, trippy and drippy with gospel. Okay, I wrote in my notes, I was looking back at my notes from seminary as I was getting a lecture on the Gospel of John, and I wrote right across the top of the page at one point, John is a trip. So I thought it'd be appropriate to sing the Beatles together here this morning. And I drew this picture of John as the professor was lecturing because I really envision, you're never going to hear this anywhere else probably, but I see in my mind's eye John the gospel writer as this kind of French poet. So I did that funny little picture. I'm not much of an artist, but he has like the funny maybe French shirt. He's holding a cigarette. I would never want to read John without a French accent, if you can do it. So, I mean, I can't do that, but John is really trippy. He's a really interesting author, and we see things in the Gospel of John that we don't see in the other Gospels. It really is a Gospel above, I would say, all the rest. I don't believe John actually wrote the Gospel. I believe John drew the Gospel with a vibrant, rich palette of maybe Parisian colors. All of these extravagant eccentrics lead only to the most glorious message of God's unrelenting love. Love, love, love. Pointing us faithfully, John is always pointing us to this one incarnate Christ Jesus, our Savior, the Word made flesh, as John says. Welcome to the year of John. The traditional medieval image for the Gospel of John is the eagle. In lots of statues in Europe, if you go into those old churches, you'll see a figure. Sometimes there's four corners, and you'll have a gospel writer statue in each corner. And always the Gospel of John, you can tell if there's an eagle there at maybe John's foot, or maybe actually an eagle. That's because, and Martin Luther said it best, Luther said that the Gospel of John soars in the highest way in its view of Christ, that Jesus is God's own self come down to our dark world. That might sound obvious to us as Christians, but some of the other Gospels are a little more vague and ambiguous about that, just in what they're in what's written there. But John, there's no question. The eagle was believed at that time to be the only animal that could look directly at the sun. That's the reason for that symbol, and also the only animal that can actually fly to the sun. So the eagle was a fitting image. The Gospel of John, more than any other book in the Bible, describes God's deep incarnation and love in such extreme and cosmic terms. It really is hard to put into words. So the artists and the musicians and the dancers and the poets have to be gathered together to really get into John. So I just want to bring these ideas and these images to you here this morning. So here's the first thing, and it's on the little handout too. The first idea about John that I want to share with you this morning is that John is all about experiencing God. Not simply talking about God, but experiencing God. So to actually feel something, to actually feel love, is to know God in John's gospel. To actually feel it is to know it. It's one thing, of course, to hear the good news in church. God loves you. It's a totally another thing to be lavished with a hug or a delicious meal or a warm bath or a soft robe or a glass of wine. In the Gospel of John, you have these stories of people being lavished with God's love. Foot washing happens in John's Gospel. Oils are dumped and you got that smell of the wonderful oils. Wine is poured, the wedding of Cana, for example. Water comes gushing out. Can you taste it? Can you see it? Can you smell it? Can you feel it? There is this real tactile quality to John's witness. It is incarnational. And the images always point to the extravagant grace, beauty, and truth of God. These are really kind of artistic ideas. God abides. That's language that we see a lot in the Gospel of John. God dwells. God moves into the neighborhood, as one biblical translator puts, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, God moves into the neighborhood. It's tactile. Do you sense this? It's this kind of fleshy flesh experience and quality. That's the first thing. John is experiential. Watch for these things as we move through John in this upcoming year. Because John was written in the probably late 1st century, early 2nd century, Christians were under persecution, as many of you know. And so the community that gathered around John's gospel, around John's writing, was very small. It was very tightly knit. It was deeply spiritual. And therefore, they had lots of insider language. Lots of insider language. In fact, Jesus' statements in the Gospel of John, he says these things in your... They're pretty cryptic. What is he talking about? A couple of the I am statements come to mind. And he says, I'll try to do my best French accent. He says, I am the bread of life. You go, what are you talking about, Jesus? You ever feel like that? What do you mean the bread of life? I am the gate. Okay. I am the sheep. What's he talking about? These images are really interesting and they're kind of cryptic. It doesn't mean that John and the community that gathered around John was trying to be exclusive. It's just that outsiders can't understand until they're brought into the knowledge. One has to be brought in from the darkness into the light. And that's what we do as we move through this Gospel of John in this new year. From not knowing, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're the light of the world? What do you mean you're the bread of life? What do you mean you're the gate and the sheep and the good shepherd? You have to be brought into the knowing. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, come and see. And we start to hear other disciples say that as well. Come and see. Come and see. Come into the light. I wonder if this is true for you too. Stories maybe you have of being brought into the light of understanding. I just think of my experience of being a parent. You know, you hear about what that's like, but you don't really know what that's like until you start to go through it. You're brought into a new light of understanding. The third thing is that John's purpose was to strengthen the community with words that bear eternal life and love. John's purpose was to strengthen the community with words that bear eternal life and love. So the very relationship that Jesus has with God, he talks about that a lot in the Gospel of John. It is an intimate, loving, deep relationship, and we are offered that too. This is offered freely for the disciples, and then it's offered for us as we are brought into the light that's going to open up for us as we continue to look through John's Gospel. And this knowledge, this relationship that we have with God, it changes everything. In fact, our lives, it becomes salvific. That means it saves our lives. These words from the Gospel of John save our lives. I've often said here that you have everything you need in this book. You have everything you need. We'll be okay as we gather around this book. These words change everything and can even save our lives. That's why we reverence the book at the beginning of the reading time. John's Gospel guides us into this relationship that is drippy with abundant life and grace. So think Beatles. Think Beatles on both Christmas and also on Good Friday. Good Friday, it's love, love, love. We always read the Gospel of John on Good Friday because Jesus on the cross is not saying, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" That's the Gospel of Mark. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus is saying, love one another. On the cross, Jesus is on the throne and says, love one another. Right at the very end and then on into eternity. There's no infant, no baby Jesus stories in the Gospel of John. Vicky started right from the beginning. We didn't hear anything about a little baby born in a manger. That's the Gospel of Luke. It just is about God's love, God's light, and God's grace. And then the word grace is not mentioned or brought up again throughout the entire book. Because you experience that grace as we read and as we enter into this story. The next thing that happens is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, like John the Evangelist, is just about pointing, reflecting God's grace and God's love for this world. The fourth point I would make is that everything for John is sacramental. This is interesting. Everything is sacrament. Interestingly, in the Gospel of John, there is no Last Supper. I mean, there's no last Passover meal. They have a meal together the night before the Passover. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the Passover lamb on Good Friday. That's the Passover. It's not Good Friday. So, Jesus is shedding light. Jesus is washing their feet the day before the Passover. And then Jesus tells them, what do you know, to love one another. Gives the greatest commandment. That's where we get Maundy Thursday. In this way, John opens up all creation to become a cornucopia of images that bear the love and the divine mark of God. There's not one holy thing. Everything is holy in the Gospel of John. Drinking water is holy. Talking late at night is holy. This happens in the Gospel of John. Celebrating at a wedding is holy business. Every time we're eating, it's holy business. Or we're shepherding, taking care of animals in some way, or gardening. All of this is holy. Do you see all things as sacred, as sacrament, or just churchy stuff? That's kind of something that John, I think, opens our minds up to. Do you see that God made manifest in Jesus, overflowing in the cooing of an infant? Or a hug that you watch at the airport. Is this God's love manifesting and overflowing? All the interactions that we have together in these exciting Christmas days. Do you see God's love manifest in Jesus when you walk your dog? Or with the incredible smell of fresh strawberries? This is God with us. All of these things in the Gospel of John. Maybe a hot tub or a long talk. This is God with us. And finally, the fifth idea that I just want to share is Jesus is God. Jesus is God. This truth, one can argue, can be a little more vague in the other Gospels, but John hammers home Christ's absolute divinity. Jesus is God. And this God from God, light from light, as we say in the Nicene Creed, has come to dwell with us and to love us even here, even now. This is a different kind of Christmas message. It's not as scratchy and rustic as Luke's version that happens in the stable. John's gospel is smooth and ethereal and mysterious, like incense or a candle flame or a glorious high-flying eagle. Whether you like that or not, maybe that's not really it for you, it's all just God's way of trying to get through to us. You don't understand John's cosmic esoteric terms? Then how about Luke's version? That's about a poor teenage immigrant girl in a smelly stable, and farmers with calloused hands coming to visit the baby, and then sheep herders with alcohol on their breath. That's a little more of a scratchy story that we'll gather around this evening, tonight. How's that for you? If that doesn't fit, then how about the more geopolitical dynamics of international rulers or astrologers traveling the great deserts of the earth and resisting King Herod, that bully, immature, filthy, rich king, in order to pay homage to the true king with gold and frankincense and myrrh? That's Matthew's gospel. See, all of these different tellings of the story are different ways that God is always trying to get through to us. God is always trying to get this message across to us that we are not in this life, in this pain, in this valley by ourselves. God always makes a way and gets this grace and this peace, this justice and righteousness, this forgiveness and love through to us. God is always working to find different ways, and John is one of those ways. In John, we see it, and we hear it, and we feel it, and we taste it. And we do that in this space too, as we gather together as God's people. We see it, and we hear it, and we feel it, and we taste it. Mercy is ours. Mercy is here. Love has come. All we can do, like the shepherds in the story, like the kings in the Matthew story, all we can do is adore the light that shines in the darkness. All we can do is sit back and bask in the Word made flesh. All we can do is celebrate Christmas in spirit and in truth. Deep in our hearts we can celebrate, and we can celebrate with our whole bodies in how we love and treat one another and God's earth. All we can do is praise God, as the mystic poet Rilke once said, "Praise, my dear ones, let us disappear into praising. Nothing belongs to us." Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!